So just let me follow up on Chuck here, because Satan have heard what God said in Genesis 3. The seed of the woman shall bruise Satan's head. And Satan is not stupid. He said, oh, well, I know what he's saying. I know that somebody will be born into this world, and he's going to crush my head. Well, I got to watch now every man. So Satan is very alert. So he said, okay, now let me watch what's going on here. Let me see which man is that God is going to bring in. Noah. All right, maybe that's the man. I'm going to trick him and make him sin. And Noah sin. Okay. God had no chance. Let's see who else he has. Abraham. And Abraham sinned. He had fallen. How about Isaac? And Isaac. How about Jacob? And Jacob. How about Moses? And Moses failed. Well, how about David? And David failed. Well, how about Solomon? And Solomon failed. God had no chance. Every man that comes in, no matter how godly he is, I got him. Every one of them have failed. God had no chance. Who is he going to send? I'm watching every one of you. Every one of you children of Adam, I'm watching you. And trust me, none of you are going to crush my head. I am going to bite you before you do that. And God is not going to be able to do anything about it. All have sinned. Every man, every child of Adam have sinned. It's a bigger problem. Seems like no matter what God is trying, Satan is ahead of him. And he is messing up everything. There was one in reserve, in the heart of eternity. The eternal Son of God. Now, I want you to take a hold of that. Go to John 1:1. Just want to establish that before we go into the manhood. Go to John 1:1. Just, it's beautiful like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, we have another beginning in John 1:1. In the beginning, or in beginning. The THE is not there. The definite article is not there. In beginning. Sometimes, somewhere. Go as far as your mind, that little mind of yours that you think it's the greatest thing. That, what is, 6 pound? 8 pound? Can hold it right in your arm here. That's your brain. Now, after what you watch, how great the universe is, give me a break. This is your brain. 6 pounds. Like, almost like a gallon of milk. That's how heavy your brain is. And you want to tell me you're going to grasp everything. That's quite all right. So, as far as your mind could go, whatever beginning you could imagine, he was there. In the beginning was the Word. And why it's the Word? Because it is how God expresses himself. It's how God is communicating. The communication, the spokesperson of the Godhead is the Word, Logos. It's actually the Greek people had that word in there and they never used it for anything. But they had an idea that it must be a way that God will express or communicate himself. And they called that word Logos. In the beginning was the Word. So ever the Lord Jesus existed as the Word. And it said, and the Word was with God. So there is a distinct impersonality now. He was the Word, but he was with God. That means there is a distinct impersonality. Remember Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We realize that in the New Testament. So in the Godhead, there are three persons. One God, three persons. And the scripture is full of proof of that. This is not a man-made anything. So he's distinct in personality. He's God, but he's distinct in personality. And then the Word was God. Or actually, in the Greek, guys, and it's a beautiful language. I wish you would learn it. I wish you would learn it. You're very smart, if you can, to see the wonder of the scripture. In the Greek, and God was the Word. Not the Word was God. So, not only that he's distinct, not only he was the expression of the Godhead, but also the Lord Jesus is God. He is God, proper deity. Proper deity, distinct in personality, proper deity, and he is the Logos. He was ever, not only that he was the Word, but his name is the Son. And because he is the Son, sometimes in our mind, because remember our brain is 8 ounces, maybe, if you're smart, if you have a big head, can't be 10. You'll have a problem then. He was not only His name is a son, as I said. His name, that's his name. It's not a title. And in your mind right away, my son, then he is younger than me. Right? Cannot have a son that's older than you or your age. It doesn't work this way. But that's what our brain understands. The idea of a son or the name, that's his name. It's not his title. It's his name. His name is the son. His name is the father. His name is the Holy Spirit. That's his name. But the idea of a son or the thought of a son imply relationship. Okay, so it's implied. It doesn't mean that he's inferior to the father. Sure. Doesn't mean that at all. To me, again, my son is younger than me. Nobody will have a son as old as he, as me. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. But keep that in mind. That the son is a name, that he was ever existed in eternity, that he is God, that he is distinct in personality. He's not the father and he's not the Holy Spirit. He's distinct in personality. He had proper deity. And he's equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the Godhead. So we need to know who is that person that is coming now to fulfill God's purpose, to accomplish God's purpose that Adam have failed in. And these are the verses that Brother Chuck was touching on in Isaiah. Now he's coming in. He has discernment. He had judgment to know what's right and what's wrong. And he is going to accomplish the will of God. But don't lose sight. People have no problem saying the Lord Jesus is a man. They have no problem with that. But they have a and they have no problem saying that you are God. But they have a problem when he says the Lord Jesus is God. It's amazing. They tell you, you are God. But if you say that the Lord Jesus is God, they have a problem with that. I don't get it. He's God over all, blessed forever. You are creatures. He is a son. That's his name. He is the Logos. He's the expression that could express God's thoughts. And yet, to accomplish God's purpose, he must take humanity on himself.
Vaughn, could we just say something quickly about the virgin that we spoke of? It says that a virgin will conceive and will bear a child. We know she had to be a virgin because, as we said, as in Adam, all die. So it had to be someone. She had to not have been with a man to not have that thing that transfers from man to man, all the way down through the generations, that were caused the Lord Jesus to be born, not by one that was pure, through Adam's line. So she would have to be a virgin, and we know that he was conceived of the Spirit of God. It tells us that in Matthew, when the angel appeared to her, that which was born will be conceived by the Spirit of God. But I want to just say something quickly about Mary herself. I wonder how many different girls there were at that time that would have been available to be used by God. The scripture says that that we should be vessels fit to honor, sanctified, separated from sin, fit for the master's use, serviceable to him, prepared for every good work. Here was a girl that was probably in her own eyes not doing anything more than what she should. She was just being available to God. But the Spirit of God identified her as the one that would be fit for the Master's use, that was prepared for every good work. We know that she was told by the angel that she was blessed among all other women. Now, many people would try to put that more than she ought to have. She needed a Savior herself. She needed to be redeemed by that same precious blood that we all needed to be redeemed by. But yet, nevertheless, I just want to bring out the point that she was fit for the Master's use. She was one that saved herself. She was young. She probably had opportunity. She was probably tempted in the same way many of us are tempted. But yet, the Spirit of God identified her and said, this is the one that's going to have the distinct and only privilege to carry and bear forth the Son of God, because she was sanctified and fit for the Master's use. So may that just be an encouragement to us to be pure, to be holy, and to be prepared unto every good work.